And at the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. There was something preventing the angel that brought him the answer, and that was the devil. You know, the devil doesn't want us to know prophecy. He doesn't want us to know the Word of God. He doesn't want us to know what the Word of God says. And so he will send things into our life to prevent us from knowing the Word of God. And so he says, verse 24, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. The Most Holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 70 weeks and 62 weeks, and the street shall be built again, and the walls, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall the Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Now he moves to the end here. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of the abominations he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Those from the building of the temple, the 7 weeks of Daniel is seven. Each week represents a year, and it's actually 70 times seven. 490 years from the time the temple was destroyed until the Messiah came. When Jesus walked the streets of Jerusalem and died on the cross. Here the scripture says, and the Messiah was cut off, but not for himself. Who was he cut off for? For us. He died for us. He died for our sins. The Messiah is cut off. Right at the time that he died, the sacrifice was being offered. The lamb was being offered. Now, what Daniel goes ahead and tells us is that Jesus died on the cross for our sin. The Messiah was cut off. So we've stepped into another era of history, the church, the time of the church, the time of the Gentiles, from the time that Jesus died on the cross until the rapture of the church. And then will be ushered in the 7 years of tribulation, when the temple will be rebuilt, sacrifices will be restored, until the mark of the beast will be in store during those days. The devil will, I'm trying to think of the other character's name, the Antichrist will set up his kingdom, and he will have a trinity, just like the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit. There's going to be a world leader. There is going to be the beast, and then there is going to be a religious leader. that is going to be under the Antichrist, and he's going to be calling the shots. And he will come into the temple and say, "You're going to worship me." You know why the devil was cast out? I mean, he wants to be worshipped. He asked Jesus to worship him. He said, "If you'll bow down and worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world." That's what his goal is ultimately. I want to get back here. Let's move back a little bit. Go to 2 Thessalonians. And look at chapter 2. And let's look at verse 1. "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." And then we find that played out in Revelation, the 13th chapter. Revelation 13, and go to verse 4. "And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast, and who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth with blaspheming against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world." Now let me close by getting back to Matthew 24. In Matthew 24 and verse 8, he says, "All these things are the beginning of the sorrows," or the beginning, the NIV says, the beginning of the birth pains. And so he gives us several. Now, I'm going to give you some of these, and then I'm going to finish up here tonight. Religious deception. Do you think that we're living in a world of religious deception? We are living in a world of religious deception. How about international revolution? Everywhere you look, I wish I was a little. I'm real sharp on the computer, but I wish I was just a little sharper. No, I better take all that back. I don't know anything about it. But I wish that I was where that when we come to that place, I could just show you some of the news scenes of what is going on, the revolution that is going on all over the world. War? How about famines? All over the world. People are starving to death all over the world. Now, it's hard for us to realize. We walk down these supermarkets with food just piled everywhere. It's hard for us to realize that. But all over the world, people are starving to death. I don't know much about this. I've only heard. And some of you are involved in it. But I've heard that in the public school, they pack food in backpacks and send home with children who will not have anything else to eat other than that is in those backpacks that those school officials and teachers send home with them for the weekend. Is that true? I'm sure it's true. I've never been involved in it. I haven't seen it. Can you believe in America that children would go without food because of their deadbeat parents? Famines, earthquakes, plagues, strange events in the skies. I'm going to quit right here. We'll take up here tonight. So what should we be doing? That's right. We need to be ready. We need to get other folks ready. We need to be sharing the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ with a lost and a dying world. We want to take just as many with us as we possibly can. Here's the trouble. The God of this world has blinded eyes so bad that I think that he's blinded the church in such a way. The Bible says that if the days weren't shortened, the very elect would be, what's that next word? Deceived. They'd be deceived. There's so much deception going on. Let's stand together. If you're not a Christian, I want to ask you to be saved today. I want to ask you to step out from where you're at and come to where I'm at and ask Jesus to come into your heart as Savior. You know, I can't save you, but I know a man who can. There are some of you who are under the sound of my voice this morning who are already a Christian. You've invited Jesus into your heart as personal Savior, but you've never followed him in believer's baptism. We talked about that at the beginning of the service, and that's something you need to do. There's some of you here today who are not living for Christ. And God has pricked your hearts today by the power of his Holy Spirit that you're to be living for him. You're to give yourself to him. And you need to rededicate your life. Recommit your heart and your life to him today. Some of you have got loved ones that will die and go to hell unless they get saved. And you need to be praying for them. You need to be witnessing to them. Some of you are going to feel like you need to come to this altar and pray this morning because the Holy Spirit is present here. I hope you'll just be obedient to him. Just do what he tells you to do. If you need to talk to me, you come and talk to me. As we sing, you come.